Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Proverbs 15:2. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. Numbers, chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. It is our privilege to study God's Word book by book. We've analyzed some things from the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, and now we're looking into this magnificent book, the book of Numbers. My, what a challenge it is for me to be able to do research and find so many magnificent truths from God's Word. And as all of you know, we're emphasizing the fact that you find Jesus in every book of the Bible. And so we'll be able to see that again today. Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, always realizing that it is absolutely essential that we be in harmony with our Lord as we study His Word, so that we'll be able to properly receive the message God has for us. May we pray together, please. Father, we are grateful that You've given us this wonderful opportunity to open our hearts and minds to these magnificent truths of Your Word. We're thankful today that we are Your children, not because we deserve to be, but because of Your grace. We're saved by grace, kept by grace. We have the assurance that one day we shall leave this life by means of Your grace. We're thankful for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that You will help us today to be appreciative of the fact that we have this magnificent gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We realize that when you love the world. And that when Jesus Christ came to this earth in the flesh, the God-man, He came for the specific purpose of going to the cross to bear the sins of the world. We're thankful indeed for that. We ask that You'll be with us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to the book of Numbers. As you see on the screen, we have Numbers 21, 8, and 9. I would ask you to check back a few verses ahead of this to Numbers 21, 5. And the people spoke against God and Moses. And the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have You brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that He may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Now verses 8 and 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live." Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. And Moses made a bronze serpent, set it on the standard, and it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked on the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, if you'll go, please, to the book of John in the New Testament. John chapter 3, verse 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in Him have eternal life, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'm aware of the fact that when I come to the study of the book of Numbers, there's a tremendous amount of information to share with you. And I'm also aware of the fact that there's no way that I can do this justice without first of all giving you a little preview. I don't expect you to be able to copy all this information I'm giving by way of introduction, but I want you to know that there are 36 chapters in the book of Numbers. We have on the screen now for you a little bit of information about each of these books. The census, tribes, duties are presented to us in chapters 1 through 6 of the book of Numbers. The date is 1445 B.C. In Numbers chapter 7 through 10, we have the tabernacle dedication, 1445 B.C. In chapters 11 and 12, we have the people complaining, 1445 B.C. One of the things that I've discovered about the children of Israel is that they have a specialty. Their specialty is complaining. I've discovered that that is true even in our day. So in Numbers 11 and 12, the people complain. In Numbers chapter 13, we see the 12 spies. In Numbers chapter 14 and 15, the people murmur at the spies' report. Most of us have heard and we've studied in the past Korah's rebellion, Numbers chapter 16, where the earth opens up and swallows people. Very interesting indeed. In Numbers chapter 17, we have Aaron's staff buds. In chapters 18 and 19, we see the priest, the red heifer, and emphasis upon cleansing. In chapter 20, we see the water from the rock at Meribah. Chapters 20 and 22, Aaron's death. In chapter 21, we see the bronze snake. And you'll remember that we've just been reading about that. In chapters 22 to 25, we see Balaam and the angel. Most of us are familiar with that story. In Numbers chapter 26, the second census. In Numbers chapter 27, the daughters of Zelophehad. In chapter 27, verse 18, Joshua chosen to succeed Moses. In chapters 28 and 29, special sacrifices and holy days. The 30th chapter, vows of women. Conquest of Midian in Numbers 31. You didn't realize that you were going to get an overview like this. In chapter 32, the division of Transjordan. The summary of Israel's journey. Appointment of Canaan. Borders and cities of refuge. Zelophehad's daughters marry in the 36th chapter. All I want you to do is to just quickly put this on the screen to let you see that there are 36 chapters of the book of Numbers. There's no way that we can study all of that information, but I did want you to be able to have somewhat of an insight. Today we're going to begin our travel. Our travel with the Israelites. Look, if you will, please, at how we're putting this. Let's travel with the Israelites in their wilderness wanderings and plod with them from Sinai to the plains of Moab, where they wait permission to enter the promised land. The emphasis here is that God's people must walk by faith and depend upon His promises, which tells us that we must realize that without a close relationship to our Lord, what we are sojourners in this life. Oftentimes without direction or without purpose. God does not want this for us. God does not want us to be without purpose and direction. What we're finding out here is that God instructs the people of Israel, and God instructs people today. He gives instructions for us. We have this magnificent book, the wonderful Word of God. For instance, the writer of the book of Hebrews refers to the problem that the Israelites had in Hebrews 3:19, where it says they were unable to enter the land because of their unbelief. I'm persuaded that that is true in our day. We're not able to accomplish what God's purpose and plan is. It's because of our unbelief. I came to the point where I said, take note. The trek from Egypt to Israel is not that far, but it took 40 years. Why? This wonderful book of Numbers tells us there was disobedience and lack of faith that caused God to make them wander in the desert until all the people of that generation, just about all of them, died, with a few exceptions. What we see in this book is stubbornness on the one hand, and on the other hand, we see God's grace, God's faithfulness, and God's protection. I want to pause for a moment to let you see how fantastic that statement is. When you look at this book of Numbers, on the one hand, you see the stubbornness of individuals. And on the other hand, you see God's faithfulness, God's grace, God's protection. Perhaps I need to tell you that we ought to consider some facts. First of all, who's the author? Of God, the Holy Spirit, of course. Whom did He use? The author, Moses. The time written was 1450, approximately to 1410 B.C. To whom was this information written? To the people of Israel, to document their journey to the promised land. The application for us today is, God is with us from earth to glory. I love that thought, that God is with us from earth to glory. Landscape. The story begins at Mount Sinai and includes Kadesh, Mount Hor, plains of Moab, also includes, what else? The Sinai Desert, and ends at the boundaries of Canaan. What about the subject that's covered here? First, census organized the people by tribes for their journey. I want you to really pay close attention to what I'm presenting. The first census, I'm sure that you understand numbers, that the word numbers means numbers. Can I say it any clearer than that? Numbers, the book of Numbers about numbers. When you think about numbers, you think about census. What is the population, for instance, of our town, Baytown? What is the census? What would the approximate number be of the people who live? So the subject covered first census that organized the people by tribes for their journey ahead. When you go to the 26th chapter of the book of Numbers, you'll find another census. In that census, they were counted 20 years of age, young men and older, who were going to serve in the army. I'm trying to get you to get with me so that we can move this subject together. The subjects that are covered in the book of Numbers, census. Numbers. First census organized the people by tribes for their journey ahead. Another census came along in the 26th chapter of the book of Numbers in relationship to those young men 20 years of age and older who would serve in the army. Another subject was the rebellion of these individuals and their results. They would not believe, for instance, Joshua and Caleb, the only two spies that said that Israel could conquer Canaan. And because of their lack of faith, they wandered 40 years in the desert until all but a few of that generation had died. I've already mentioned to you the fact that the people were organized by tribes. Perhaps you need to get this mental picture. You will notice that the tabernacle, God came in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when the cloud paused over the tabernacle, they stayed. When the cloud moved, they're to pull up their tents and move. I want you to get a mental picture of the fact that the moving was not a simple thing, because we have the different tribes, 12 tribes around that tabernacle. And they're made up of a number of individuals. For instance, there's the tribe of Asher, 41,500. There's the tribe of Naphtali, 53,400. There's the tribe of Dan, 62,700. There's the tribe of Benjamin, 35,400. There's the tribe of Manasseh. You'll excuse me for leaning over because I'm reading it. You may have to lean over to read it also. 32,200. The tribe of Ephraim, 40,500. Now I can straighten up. The tribe of Gad, 43,650. On the south also, there's the tribe of Simeon, 59,300. There's the tribe of Reuben, 46,500. There's the tribe of Zebulun, 57,400. There's the tribe of Issachar, 54,400. Now, if I've missed anything, just let you look, and you don't need to add this up. I can tell you that if you add all of these up, it's about 600,000. Now I want to get you to have a mental picture. If we have an emphasis here upon 600,000 plus, and then you have individuals with wives and children, and you add all of this up, it would amount perhaps to 1,500,000 or 2 million people. I'm trying to get you to get a mental picture. Now the question I ask is, when the cloud moves and they are to move, can you imagine what that would be like, moving almost 2 million people? Now you have a little mental picture. What I'm going to do is go back and let you see that we have some lessons we need to learn right here. First of all, when we study the book of Numbers, we're going to discover that God does not tolerate sin. The second thing that I notice here is, the second lesson I'm learning, is you and I have the responsibility of fleeing from the influence of Egypt. Every time you read about Egypt, it will be something like going down to Egypt. Going down to Egypt. Oftentimes, I believe in our day, people can flee Egypt geographically, but still have Egypt in their hearts and souls. And you'll have to hear what I'm saying there. So we have an emphasis here upon the second lesson, flee from Egypt's influence. The third lesson is live as committed believers, live a separate life, a holy life, a loyal and dedicated and committed life. The next lesson is accept life as God given. Accept life as God given. There are many things that you and I will face in life that we won't understand. We'll not be able to comprehend. It will not be really what we planned for. I received a telephone call from my sister-in-law yesterday to inform me that my brother, who's 88 years of age, is now going blind. Not something anyone would hope for or think about. She told me that her brother, whom I've known through the years, her younger brother, who was told 7 years ago that he had cancer, he would not live more than 6 months. 7 years later, he's just now passed away. There are many things that happen to us in life that we don't understand and don't agree with, and yet we must accept life as God-given. We are to understand that God's word is true. No doubt about that. You're following me, and I thank you for it. Roman number 8. The key persons that you find in the book of Numbers, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, Joshua, Caleb, Eleazar, Korah, Balaam. What do you know about these individuals? I would encourage you to study and read oftentimes through this magnificent book of Numbers. The key verses are found in Numbers 14, 21 to 23. I should stop right now and tell you that we ought to read those verses. I'm not going to do it because I want to move through a tremendous amount of information for you. Key verses, Numbers 14, 21 to 23. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. Numbers 27, 18 through 20. If you want an outline of the book, I'm going to give it to you very rapidly. In chapter 1, verse 1 through 10, verse 10, which simply means the first chapter through the 10th chapter, Israel prepares for the journey to the promised land. It's important for us to get this little overview in our thinking. Israel prepares for the journey for the promised land. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 10 and verse 10. That's the first 10 chapters of Numbers. In chapter 10 through chapter 11, 14, all the way through the 45th verse of chapter 14, the people complain. All you have to do is read through those verses and you will discover that the people complain. Miriam and Aaron oppose Moses. The people refuse to enter Canaan because of the reports of the unfaithful spies. I don't need to remind you of this, but perhaps you already remember. In chapter 15, verses 1 through chapter 21, for 40 years, the people wander in the desert until the faithless generation is consumed. Chapter 22, verse 1 through chapter 26, verse 1. As the people approach the promised land again, a king tries to hire Balaam, a local sorcerer and prophet, to put a curse on Israel. You remember, most of us remember this, that Balaam's donkey talks. It's an interesting thing when you find a donkey talking. That's the way it is today, I believe, in many pulpits. But anyway, let's move along. Some of you caught that. Thank you. I have to laugh at myself when I think about funny things like that. Balaam's donkey talks. The angel of the Lord tells Balaam to speak only what the Lord tells him. Balaam blesses the Israelites instead of cursing. When you go to chapter 26, verse 1, and go all the way to chapter 30, verse 16, Moses takes another census to organize an army. Moses commissions Joshua to succeed him. God gives instructions on offerings and feast. When you go to chapter 31, verse 1, through chapter 36, verse 13, the Israelites take vengeance on the Midianites, then camp on the plains of Moab. Now let me move along. When I think in terms of Moses, I have to realize that Moses had problems. For instance, no sooner was he out of Egypt than his troubles began. The Amalekites attacked him immediately, and a year later at Kadesh, Edomites, Moabites, Amorites, Midianites all joined hands to block Israel's path to Canaan. What I'm trying to do is to let you just get a quick synopsis, a view, overview. No sooner was he out of Egypt, his troubles began. The Amalekites attacked him immediately. And then we have all of these others. It seems like they all joined hands to block Israel's path to Canaan. Even his own people, who had been delivered out of Egypt, sustained by marvelous miracles, murmured and complained and rebelled. Do you see when I'm typing this out, thinking about how I should say this? I feel like it ought to be said in this fashion. We have people who should be responding, but they're murmuring and complaining and rebelling. They actually began complaining in Egypt, then at the Red Sea, then at Marah, then in the wilderness of Sin, on down the line. Look at all those places. Then Kadesh, very close to the promised land, refusing to go further. Moses also had trouble with his own trusted leaders. Aaron made a gold calf at Sinai. Miriam and Aaron tried to usurp his authority. We find that in chapter 12. 10 of the 12 spies led the people in their refusal to enter Canaan. And then they came to a point, and I feel sorry for this preacher. Now they want to stone him. You find that in Numbers chapter 14, verse 10. They were ready to stone Moses. And last of all, Moses was not permitted to enter the promised land. It was the grace of God that gave Moses strength. Let me interrupt myself. Between the 19th and 20th chapters, there seems to be a gap of 38 years. All I'm trying to do today at this beginning session is just paint a little picture. Between the 19th and 20th chapters, there seems to be a gap of 38 years. You can find this presented to us in Numbers 10, 12. The sin of Moses, he failed to give God credit for the miracle of water. Miriam, Aaron, and Moses died in that same year. Miriam died at Kadesh at the age of 130. Aaron died at Mount Hor at the age of 123. Moses died at Mount Nebo at the age of 120. I want to close this session by giving you a verse of scripture. It's Numbers 20:24. A very interesting passage of scripture because it says, gathered to his people. Gathered to his people. Gathered to his people is a beautiful Old Testament expression of death. Reunion with loved ones beyond the grave. Now if you'll go back and let's look to see. In verse 6 of Numbers 21, the people spoke against God and they spoke against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food, no water. And this food that you're giving us is miserable. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and they said, "We have sinned because we've spoken against the Lord. And you intercede with the Lord, please, that he may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. And this passage of scripture, which is so familiar to all of us, because it takes us into the New Testament. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Are you able to see this? And whosoever believes may in him have eternal life. And then that passage of scripture that all of us have memorized, even as a little child. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you find Jesus in the book of Numbers? We see it so beautifully presented to us. Can you imagine a person being bitten by a serpent and then being told, "Look, look"? And that reminds me of a song that we sang when I was in college, "Look and Live." Look and live. How beautiful, how magnificent it is to see how Jesus Christ is the Savior of mankind. Some months ago, some weeks ago, some years ago, you looked and became a recipient of that great gift of salvation. How magnificent that is. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the privilege of just for a few moments reviewing some of the things that took place in relationship to these individuals, and in light of the fact that we are members of that family of God, saved by the matchless grace of God and the provision that was made through Jesus Christ. His willingness to leave heaven's glory, go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And anyone today who will accept that gift of grace can know without shadow of a doubt that heaven will be their eternal home. But most of all, when they leave this life, they'll be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the closing moments of this service today, we're reminded of the fact that we need to present the wonderful truth that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and that anyone who understands how much God loves and accepts that can know without doubt that they are a recipient of that grace of salvation. It was Jesus who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." We realize today that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the person of Christ. We would ask that there will be those at this very moment, seeing their own need, will accept you as their own Lord and Savior. The scripture says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." We pray that there will be those who will do that just now. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.